Chapter 5 tonight, Mark chapter 5. We're going to talk about the nature and activity of demons. Mark chapter 5 tonight. Now, don't even think that we're going to talk of all that the Bible says about the nature and activity of demons, because we can't. But we're going to try to birth it, as you might say, in a text where it's definitely a deliverance account from the life of Jesus Christ. And then look at some other verses from here and other places about demons. Let's read verse 1 through 20. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out, that's Jesus, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now, that's an interesting point right there, because we're going to look at territorial demons. And so it appears that maybe the area of the Gadarenes was a demonic-held area. These demons didn't want to leave that area for some reason. Just an interesting side note. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought them, saying, Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus to see him, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that amazing? They seemed like they weren't afraid of the guy when he was a demoniac, and now they're afraid of him. You know, And they saw that it was told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. That is, they didn't want Jesus there anymore. They said, you need to leave. Seems like to me, this is the kind of guy I want around, you know. He's casting demons out of people. And when they were coming to the ship, he that was been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. Decapolis is an area of 10 cities, Deca, 10 cities. So this guy just went and he became a fiery evangelist. And I always thought about this story, you know. Here he comes back into town, and he starts talking to somebody, and they're like, oh, I didn't recognize you with clothes on, you know. Here he is. He's clothed in his right mind. And anyway, this guy's been called the nude dude in a rude mood, okay. But we'll just call him the demoniac. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us, I pray, as we look into this most important area. In our lives, I pray we'll get some help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the fundamental truths that we don't want to pass over as we deal with spiritual warfare is this fact that Satan isn't acting alone. He's very organized spirit, organized army of spirit beings called demons. who obey him and carry out his will. A demon is a fallen angel that followed Satan in his rebellion. And we get that from a couple of places. One is in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 says, when Satan fell, that he with his tail, he took a third of the angels with him. And that is reference to, I believe, all these angels, had a will of their own, and they chose to go into rebellion with Satan. They didn't just say, you know, you're going with me. No, they all chose, because as you study this out, so a third of all the angels fell with Satan. That means there's two-third good angels, okay? So that's encouraging to know. But a third, now how many is that? We don't know how many that is. In Revelation, there's an army of 200 million assembled that are either people, some people believe they're angels. They could be soldiers from the east, or they could be angels, fallen angels. But so we don't know how many there are, really. We're not told anywhere in particular how many fallen angels there are. If there is a place, I'd like to know where it's at. But anyway, first of all, the nature of demons. This man, in Mark chapter 5, was demon-possessed. We see that they're personal beings. They're spirit beings, but they have attributes of personality. We see from this that they possess intellect. In this account, they were able to speak and reason using the man's voice. They had taken over the vocal cords of this man, and they were using his voice. In verse number 7, they were able to speak and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." So they're personal beings. They have personality, like Satan. When we studied Satan back in the beginning of our spiritual warfare, Satan has a personality. He has a mind, emotion, and will. And spiritual beings, demons, are like this as well. They have emotions. They begged Jesus not to torment them. So since they don't have bodies, they must feel emotional torment. You know, when a person goes to hell, they'll be tormented in their physically, but they'll also be tormented emotionally. And I don't, praise God I'm saved, I won't have to experience it, but I believe that the emotional torment will be just as bad as the physical torment. Just the emotional torment of not of knowing that you rejected Jesus throughout eternity.
I know God is omnipresent. Is Satan omnipresent?
Uh-huh. Right?
I'm asking.
Oh, God?
God is omnipresent.
Yes.
Is Satan omnipresent?
Satan is not omnipresent, no. Omnipresent means all. Omni means all. Present. The question is Satan omnipresent? Absolutely not. He can't be but one place at one time. God is everywhere all the time. Right. We're going to get to that in just a minute. So, but demons have emotions. They have a will. They exercise their will when they chose to follow Lucifer. And we also see it exercised here where they ask the Lord to send them into the hogs. And note that they didn't have any power to do it, except they had to get Jesus' authority to do it. They had to get his permission. Verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave." He just said, "Go," and they went. But they're under Satan's authority, but ultimately they're under Christ's authority. Remember what we said, that I've said it over and over again, and even in Job the other night, where we said that the devil is God's devil. So God is using Satan and his demons to fulfill his will on this earth, even when it comes to us being tried. And we looked at that in the book of Job. It's important to see their personal being, because they're often depicted in the movies and things like that as the force, or, you know, something, you know, make-believe or something. They are real. They are personal beings. They have a will. They have emotions. They have a mind. All of that. Yet their spirit beings without a body of their own. They're disembodied spirits looking for a body to inhabit. Now that's interesting. They didn't want to leave this guy and not be going into dry places. We're going to read a verse in just a minute. But they wanted to be able to go around. They wanted to be able to be in some body. When we see people committing evil or strange, destructive things to themselves, we should consider that they are demonized. Demonized is a New Testament word, really, for demon-possessed or demon-oppressed. And we know that a believer cannot be demon-possessed because we are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God, we've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been purchased with a price. We belong to Him. We can never belong to Satan again. Amen? That's a good thing. But we can be demonized. We can be demon-oppressed. In other words, to be controlled by Satan, we can be, absolutely. One good example of that is Peter. Peter had just made this wonderful confession of faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus began to tell him how he was going to go up to Jerusalem and be crucified. And Peter, the Bible says, upbraided him. That is, he got in his face and said, that's not going to happen. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. At that particular moment, Peter was demonized. He was being controlled by the devil. He believed a lie. And that's what happens. When you believe a lie, you step over here in this realm. You invite Satan in when you believe a lie because he's the father of lies. You can become controlled by him. Not possessed, but controlled. So, that's why we're told to be filled with the Spirit. Now, look at Luke 11. There's this passage I was referring to a minute ago. Luke 11. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Speaking of the person that he left out of. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Woo, this is big. In other words, the demon, it says when he an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Dry places indicates places without life. They're disembodied. They're just floating around or whatever. They're seeking rest in a body. Evidently, demons can rest in a body. I know that I've heard that people that were demon-possessed, Miss Gloria Brewster talks about the lady that she adopted. She wrote a book on it that was demon-possessed. And after the girl had been delivered, she told Gloria, she says, Mama, I was always comfortable at church. I was at rest because the demon had to be under the subjection of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's why it's important that you sing godly songs and preach the word because it shuts the demons up. But they're seeking rest. So that's interesting right there. But it's important for a person who's been delivered from demonic activity to be filled with the Word of God and the good thing. It's a put off, put on principle. Because if they don't, they're cleaned and swept, but they haven't filled their lives with good or the Word of God. And the demon says he's going to go. Jesus said that the demon will go and invite his whole family over. And those jokers are wickeder than he is what it says. That's dangerous. In other words, I've known people that were delivered from gross sin and demonic activity. And they got in church and they got sold out for the Lord and they started growing. And then all of a sudden they fell out of church. That's a very dangerous thing. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. That's a dangerous place to be. Because those demons are looking to come right back in. Possession? No. Oppression? Absolutely. Person gets saved out of a demonic activity, he's saved forever. But that person needs to be discipled. That person needs to be loved. That person needs to be brought in the body and loved and grow in the body of Christ. So important. Demons are powerful beings. Back in Mark chapter 5, we read where this guy had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Very strong, overpowering, absolute strength, uncommon to that person. And you've read even modern day accounts of people that are mental, they say, or on drugs. No. Demonic activity, supernatural strength. Satan and just like threw the chains loose. They're perverted. They're called unclean spirits. That means they pervert. They're perverted. They pervert everything they touch. They want you and me to believe a lie because their leader is the father of lies. They seek to pervert God's word. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. In 1 Timothy, where he talks about doctrines of devils, they seek to pervert human sexual relationships. Now, this is important. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is the downward spiral of a person or people that have given themselves over to evil. And verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I found it interesting that that's called uncleanness, and the devil, one of his names, spirits, is unclean spirits. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections, unclean, same thing. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Talking about that this morning, reprobate mind. It's a mind incapable of rational judgment. Demonic activity. Perverted sexual activity invites the devil. It invites the devil in. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's look there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1, now concerning the things wherever you wrote me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Now get this, verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, here it is, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or lack of self-control. The only biblical way that you're supposed to separate man and wife is if you're fasting and praying. People say, well, we're going to separate, you know, I'm going to go live over here, she's going to live over here. That's so unscriptural. Unless you're fasting and praying, and that's not happening. So this is so and so. But what happens? Satan, you're inviting Satan in your marriage because he'll tempt you for your lack of self-control. What I'm saying is they're unclean spirits, and they pervert the Word of God. They pervert human sexual relationships. Now, on the other hand, they're called unclean spirits or defiled spirits. On the other hand, the Lord says about marriage, He says, marriage is honorable, Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. So God says the marriage bed, and only the marriage bed between a man and a woman, is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, He says. Well, so it's undefiled, a relationship between a man and a woman, man and wife, are undefiled, then we need to be careful that we don't bring unclean things into that relationship because we're inviting Satan in. I've known couples that said, well, we use porn together. It helps us. You're opening yourself wide open to the devil when you do that. And he is right there as an unclean. You're just inviting unclean spirits into your bedroom. That's dangerous. Or any kind of other thing that would be unclean. It's undefiled. God says it's a blessing. Enjoy it. But we need to be careful because the world is out there. And the devil is so ready to destroy your marriage any way he can. So demons are perverted beings. Now what about the activities of demons? Well, one group are free to roam the earth doing Satan's will. And I say free, I mean free under the ultimate authority of God. Job chapter 1, verse 6, we read it last Wednesday. They reported before the Lord, where you been? Walking to and fro on the earth. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's not omnipotent, or he's not omniscient, so he can't be everywhere at once. So he has his demons that do his bidding. If you say, well, the devil was my place today, I doubt it. He's over my place. That's, no. No, he sends his demons. He's got demons and imps, and he's got millions of them. And so, you know, so they're free to do the will of Satan. Another group, I mentioned them the other night, sinned and are waiting in prison for their final judgment. Jude verse 6 talks about them. Let's look at that. Let's look at 2 Peter 2. That talks about them. They're the group that fallen angels that sinned in Genesis chapter 6. And 2 Peter talks about them. In chapter 2, 2 Peter 2, 4, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, and that's a reference to Genesis 6, but cast them down to the hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Hell there is the Greek word Tartarus. It's hell, but it's a special chamber, I guess you could call it, or holding place of these demons that are awaiting to be judged because they came down and they left their first estate. Jude says they had sex with women. They produced a hybrid of giants, and it was an attempt to by Satan to defile the seed and destroy the seed, which would be Christ. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God had a plan. God wasn't going to let angels do it in Genesis 6. He wasn't going to let Haman do it in the book of Esther. He wasn't going to let anybody. Jesus was going to die, and God had a plan. So he had a plan. But he punished those demons, and he put them in a holding area to wait to be tempted. There's another group, and these are the rebellious angels that are in the pit that will be released during the tribulation time. Look at Revelation chapter 9. That's some amazing stuff right here. Revelation 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their heads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh the man. In those days shall man seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. These are angels, fallen angels. Go on down. And this is either the same group or another group. Look at this. The next passage is, verse 11 kind of explains who these are. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, in the Greek tongue is Apollyon, destroyer. It's another name for Satan. So evidently these are demons that have the form of locusts. Woo! I'm glad we're out of here, right, during the tribulation. I'm glad God's going to rapture us out of here. Praise the Lord. But look at it. Look at verse 14 also. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. So evidently there's four other angels that are prepared by God. They're just waiting to be let loose at this hour to kill a third part of people on this earth. That's huge. So that's some activities. What are the goals of Satan and his demons? The goals of demons. We could state it in one sentence. Here it is. To promote Satan and to oppose God. To promote Satan and oppose God. First of all, to promote Satan, his doctrine. Okay, this is a verse I was referencing. 1 Timothy chapter 4. They promote demonic doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So here's some doctrine. You know what they're teaching? Doctrines of devils. You know what one thing? They teach that God is not good. It's the same thing that the serpent tempted Eve with. He basically said, God's holding out on you. God knows that in the day when you eat the fruit, you shall be as gods. He's holding out on you. God's not good to you. And here's, you know what they're saying? They're doing the same thing, but they target things that we enjoy, marriage and food. Did you see that? Any teaching that forbids to marry or teaches you to abstain from certain meats or foods is demonic doctrine. It don't matter whether there's some Christian teaching it or not. You know? Now you say, well, we don't eat this kind of food. That's fine. You just don't try to teach me from the Bible that. Okay? You know, I know these people, they don't eat pork because, you know, well, you know, all that. Well, right there it says, if it can be received with the, it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Say a verse over it and pray over it and enjoy. It's what Peter did. God dropped a sheet down. Peter said, no, I'm not going to touch that. I think it was like a ham sandwich. Maybe some crawfish. I don't know what it was. Catfish. I don't know. Whatever it was forbidden. God says, you can eat it. And right here, Paul says you can eat it. So there's doctrines, false doctrine. Some of you are thinking about a false doctrine right now. The Roman Catholic Church, for years, you know, I mean, not years, but in the beginning they didn't, but then they came up with one of their, you know, edicts about, you know, forbidding to marry. And then abstaining from certain meats, certain time of the year, right? I remember, I was in Louisiana 18 years, and it was all new to me, but I remember the first time I saw ashes on a guy's head. I said, dude, you got something on your head. And I did. He's like, oh man, it's Ash Wednesday. I said, you still got something on your head. I didn't get it, you know. I didn't get it. I'm in Louisiana, right? Okay, I get it now. Ash, oh, okay. Yeah, I'm staying away from Diet Pepsis this week. I'm sacrificing. Wow, what a sacrifice. But anyway, abstaining from something, demonic doctrines. What they're teaching basically is God has given you all things richly to enjoy, but God is not good to you. He's holding out on you. That's what they're teaching. Demonic doctrine also seeks to undermine our devotion to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. doesn't mean that the doctrines of Christ are simple. It just means that Satan is going to try to get you off center by anything else. He wants us to be focused on Jesus. He wants Jesus to be the center of our life. Demonic doctrine also blinds people from the truth. We're in 2 Corinthians. Go back a few pages to chapter 4. Second Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You ever witness to somebody and they just was, it's just like a blank stare? I mean, they don't get it. And you think, man, why don't they get this? This verse tells us why. The God of this world blinds their minds. That's why we need to pray that God will prepare the hearts of those that, you know, receive the gospel tracts we give out. Prepare the hearts of those that we witness to. I pray a lot for hearts to be prepared when they come into church. Because if they're not prepared, the devil's working hard to blind people's minds from the gospel. And so that's one of the things he does. That's some of his things to promote the devil. He also destroys everyone and anyone they can. John 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Not all sickness is from the devil, but we read in the New Testament and find that much sickness was caused by the demonic. Let's look at a couple of them. Look at Matthew 12. I know we got a lot of places tonight, and if you're not looking there, I understand I get there before you do and everything. But write them down if you look them up later. These are excellent verses. Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Again, not all blindness is caused by a demonic spirit, but here this one was. And when he cast out the demon, he was healed of his blindness and his deafness. Deformity, Luke chapter 13. We read about a woman who was deformed. Luke 13:11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. This lady was just all bound over. And when Jesus saw her, he called unto her and said, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So she was deformed, and demonic spirits were the reason. Look at Matthew, one more, Matthew 17. And verse 14. And when he was come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth in the fire and off into the water, and I brought him to the disciples. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So this demon was causing this fellow to be a lunatic, emotionally and mentally unstable. I don't think all mental illness is mental illness, but I don't think all mental illness is demonic either. You know, in Africa, when I was in South Sudan, they didn't have one psychiatrist or psychologist in the country when we were there. Not one. And so they didn't deal with, there was so much trauma, so much PTSD from war. And a lot of it was mental, a lot of it was demonic. But they would always say, that man's got a demon. We got a guy in our village that went with, and usually this is how they knew him, they were naked. They'd walk around with no clothes. And we had a guy in our village, he was a big guy, and he would just walk around and they would say, he's got a demon. Well, I never dealt with the man myself. I couldn't speak his language, and the guys kind of stayed away from him. But that was just, whether he had mental problems or not. What I'm saying is that's characteristic. Nakedness is characteristic of the demonic. So they immediately just, they didn't think mental. They just thought demons. There's another big fella. We called him Jethro because he had a pair of bib overalls that came up to about here, you know. I mean, he was a tall guy, like 6'5 or 6. And he always found Karen when she was in the market. I mean, and one day he came up to Karen. I wasn't with her in the market that day. One day he came up and he went like, and he couldn't hit her. Something just held his arm right there.
Right.
And the people around him were going, and he had a demon. He was controlling, but God was controlling, God was protecting, see? So what I'm saying is not mental, all mental instability is demonic. But I will say that some is brought on by allowing sin into your life and anger and bitterness, and that does invite the demonic, because in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So anger and bitterness gives place to the devil. So what the world may call mentally anger and unforgiveness could be demonic controlled people. Very much so. After we're saved, Satan cannot take us to hell. Praise God for that. But he can do whatever he tries to destroy our testimony and destroy our peace and destroy our joy, and he uses his demons to do it. A third way that the demons try to promote Satan is to dominate nations. Dominate nations. They do this by territorial spirits. Daniel chapter 10 talks about that. Look at Revelation 20. This is at the very end when Satan, after he's been bound for 1,000 years, he will be let loose for a season and he'll go about the nations. Revelation 20, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Not much of a battle. Kind of a waste of time. He gathers all these nations against God and boom, they're burned up, you know. And then verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, hallelujah, and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented there day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. That's the devil's end right there. To dominate nations. I think Satan's now and for years has sought to dominate our country. And I think there's territorial demons over certain parts of our country. Probably territorial demons over Washington. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17 says. I think another way they seek to promote Satan is to distract away from God and His Word. Use all sorts of demons to try to get people off of God's Word. And God gives strong warning here. I'm going to stop right here because I'm going to touch on this next week. But they distract away from God's Word. They try to get people away from God's Word. And God gives a strong warning in the Bible about seeking other counsel from other spirits. And I just want to look at those verses next week and then we'll get on in the rest of it. But there's victory for the child of God. I don't want to leave you hanging and think that greater is He that's in us than he that is in the world. Can we be controlled? Can we be dominated? Yes, by the devil. Yes, but sin is how that happens. When you allow sin in, you're opening yourself up to demonic activity, not just sin. But the way to get free is through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. And that's why we need to confess sin, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Satan is called unrighteous. When we get cleansed, we are made righteous in our fellowship with him once again. Lord, thank you for your word tonight and the privilege I have to stand and teach and preach your word to these great people. Bless the word tonight. Seal it in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Musicians.